Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of daf Tzadi, we notice a Mishnah. The introductory comment that we want to make with regard to this Mishnah is found under our Nosei heading in the outside margin. Nosei means topic. We've written on the outside margin Gimel Deos Tanoim, three Tanaic opinions, Be'inyan Kiddush Kelim Halachim Vayaveshim, regarding the ability of the measuring vessels of dry and liquid measures to sanctify that which was placed in them. It may be pointed out in our Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we attempt to feature the topics as they appear in the Gemara under our Nosei heading, and in addition, when new geometric forms appear, we attempt to explain them under our Mivneh headings, the structural note. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Gimel Kol Midos Sheba Mikdash, all of the measures used in the Beis HaMikdash, Hoyu Nigdoshos, were piled high. Chutz Mishel Koyin Godol, Shehoyo Gocho Lutocha, with the exception of the measuring vessel, the vessel used for the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Godol, which was a daily meal offering that the Kohen Godol would bring, that vessel would contain the Isaron within the rim of the vessel, without any being piled above the rim. But otherwise, the Mishnah says all of the measures of the Beis HaMikdash were measured in such a way that the contents would rise above the rim. As we continue in the Mishnah, we'll notice numbering. These are the three Tanoim, three Deos Tanoim, regarding the ability of these different vessels, the measuring vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, to sanctify their contents. Midas Halach Birutzehen Kodesh Umidas Hayovesh Birutzehen Chol. The term Birutzehen is that amount that rises above the rim of the vessel. So the Tanakama, who we've written in and called it number one, is of the opinion that when it comes to the liquid measures, the dome formed by the surface tension of the liquids, that extra amount is holy. That's not the case when it comes to the Midas Hayovesh, the dry measure vessels. That which rises above the rim is not sanctified. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the second opinion, Midas Halach Kodesh, Lefikach Birutzehen Kodesh, the vessels used for measuring liquids were themselves sanctified. Therefore, the surface dome formed by the surface pressure, the extra amount when you're dealing with a liquid vessel, is also sanctified. Midas Hayovesh Chol, the vessels used for measuring dry material were not sanctified. Lefikach Birutzehen Chol. Therefore, the material that rises above the rim is not sanctified either. Only a vessel that has sanctity can sanctify that which was placed in it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Mishum Zeh, he disagrees with the aforementioned explanations. Elo Shalach Nekar Vayovesh Eino Nekar. The Lach, which Rabbi Akiva noted was Kodesh as opposed to the Yovesh. The Lach, when a liquid is poured in, so the initial amount that's poured in is poured into the bottom of the vessel. As additional liquid is poured in, that which was at the bottom of the vessel rises above, so that whatever ends up as being above the rim of the vessel, that at one point had been inside the vessel. And being that it had been inside the vessel, that creates the sanctity for the birutzin of the liquid measures. The Gemara, money. The Gemara wants to know who is the author of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that all of the measures of the Beis HaMikdash were nigdoshos, were piled above the rim. E Rebbe Meir, chad godush havi. If our Mishnah was in accordance with Rebbe Meir mentions that there was one vessel that was measured in a piling fashion, not all the vessels. E Rabbanan Chado Umochul Kave. As far as the Rabbanan were concerned, there was only one measure vessel for dry matters, and that singular dry measure vessel was itself leveled. Mochuk means it had no godesh, was not piled above the rim. So the question is, who is behind our Mishnah? Omrav Chisto, the Oilom Rebbe Meir. Our Mishnah conforms to Rebbe Meir. Umay kol midos. What is meant by the expression midos, which we generally understand as meaning the measures? Rather, kol medidos. All the measuring that was done in a piled up fashion. So that if there was one vessel that was used for that was nigdash, according to Rebbe Meir, all things that were measured in that vessel, all the measurings that vessel was used for, they were the contents was placed in such a way that it was piled above the rim. That's all the measurings, and that's the pshat in the beginning of the Mishnah. Midas halach birutzehen kodesh. B'mai komiflugi. At this point, we see a diamond form. This is a new geometric form. In the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we feature the diamond, and we've written Hesber Kol Echod Mideus Hatanoim B'Mishnah B'Inyan Kiddush HaKelim. The Gemara will explain each one of the different Tanaic authorities regarding the capacity of the vessels to sanctify that which is placed in them. So the Gemara asks, "Bemai komiflegi?" What's the underlying point of machlokis between the different tanoim? Tanakama sovar. The Tanakama is of the following opinion: midas halach nimshecha bein mibifnim mei mibachutz. The liquid measures were anointed with the special shemen hamishra, which sanctified the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. The anointing was done not only to the bifnim, the interior of the vessel, but mibachutz, but to the rim of the vessel as well. And that would account for the Tanakama's opinion that the birutzehen of the lach were sanctified. Midas yovesh, nimshecha mibifnim velo, nimshecha mibachutz. The dry measures were anointed from within, but not along the rim. And that explains why the Tanakama in the Mishnah said that the birutzein of the Midas Yavesh were chol. Were chol meaning not sanctified. Rebbe Akiva Sovar, Midas Halach, Nimshecha, Bein, Mibifnim, Bein, Mibachutz, Midas Yavesh, Lo, Nimshecha, Kol, Iker. The Midas Achutz was not sanctified at all. The Rashi Ksav Yad points out, quite importantly, even though the vessel itself was not sanctified, nevertheless, items that were measured in the vessel did have Kedusha. They had Kedusha by virtue of the fact that the person who brought the item dedicated the item. That's called Kedusha Sapeh. And since the owner who brought the item sanctified it, he sanctifies that which he needs. And the birutzeyan, the stuff, the amount beyond the rim of the vessel, that he doesn't need. So that is not sanctified. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Savar, Idi V'Idi, Nirshkolifnim, V'lo Shalvachutz, dry and liquid measures were sanctified from within and not the rim. The Hocha, by the liquid measures, Hainu Taimo, this is the reason why the Birutzehen are sanctified. The Lach Nekar Umigavo Demono Koosi. Vayovesh eino ne'akar. As we mentioned earlier, when you pour a liquid into the vessel, the initial liquid that's poured in, eventually, when the vessel is filled, the initial amount that was placed in rises above, rises to the top, so that the liquid that you find right now above the rim, due to the surface tension, that was once in the vessel. And being that it was in the vessel, and the interior of the vessel was sanctified, so that too was once inside the vessel, the birutzein of the lach. This svara cannot be applied to the yovesh vessels, because that which is placed on the top, which is above the rim, that in fact was never inside the vessel. That's the nature of dry substances. And that's what is meant by v'hayovesh eino ne'ekar. The Gemara now asks, v'chi ne'ekar, mai have? The Gemara now is focusing a question on this hesber of Rabbi Yossi. So what, it was once inside the vessel and now rose above? Gavro l'mai ditzorach ko mechavein, the person who's bringing the sacrifice, in this case he's bringing the wine offering, he sanctifies only that which he needs, and he needs the quantity that's within the vessel. He doesn't need that additional quantity that's above the rim. So why does Rabbi Yossi even entertain the thought that the birutzein of the lach are kodesh? They were never really sanctified, because the person, as we just said, only sanctifies that which he needs. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Dimi Bar Shishna Mishmei de Rav. We have a little volcano marking around Rav. The reason for these markings are explained under the Hesber that we have on the outside margin. You can see we have a Nosei Mivne heading. The volcano form appears. These are Hezberim Lishitas Rabbi Yossi, the Sover, the Chol HaKelim, Loi Niskatshu Mibachutz, all vessels were not sanctified from the outside, the rim, that is. Ubecholzos Birutzei Halach Kadeshim. And nevertheless, the surface tension liquids are sanctified. Mishum de Ne'akar Mitocho. Rabbi Yossi said, because they were once inside the vessel. However, v'ha ein odom miskavein l'toysef ezushe kodesh, but the person who sanctified it, who brought it, never intended for that to become sanctified. So we have, these are now hezberim to deal with that shita. So Rav Dimi teaches in the name of Rav, zois oimeris, from this we can conclude, klei shoreis mekatshin shalomidas, that service vessels have the power to sanctify even without the owner's intention. And therefore, since the liquid that's now above the rim of the kli was once inside the interior of the vessel, of the kli, therefore, the service vessel has this power of being mekadesh shalomidas. Ravina Omar, le'olam ein moloch kli shoris ein mekadshin elomidas. Ravina suggests that you can say even to the contrary, that klei shoreis, only makadesh, sanctify that which the owner intends to become sanctified. So the question is, why does Rabbi Yossi say that the birutzein have to be treated with sanctity? Ugzeira shema yomru motzien mikli shoreis l'chol. If they throw away the liquids above the surface, people will think that in general you can transfer things that were in service vessels to the mundane, and that's not true. But if we allow this, if we allow the rejection of the birutzin of the lach, now those birutzin were once inside the vessel. They were once true that it's a person, according to this second, the Ravina's approach, the klisharis are not mekayish shel midas, but people who see what's going on, they will come to this conclusion of motziin miklisharis l'chol, that you can take out of klisharis and put items that were already sanctified into mundane vessels. So as to prevent, so as not to give even a chance to make this mistake, we don't allow the throw out the liquids above the surface. So at this point in the Gemara, this svara of Gezeiro Shemo Yomru is how Ravina explains the preservation of the Birutzei Halach. Moisiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera raises a question. The question attacks this approach to things. It attacks this idea of that we prohibit things based on people developing a misconception. Let's see if that really governs the way Halacha works. Moisiv Rabbi Zera. The following Tanaic source deals with the Lechem Haponim. These were the 12 loaves that sat from week to week in the Beis HaMikdash on the Shulchan Azov in the Heichal. The old loaves were distributed on Shabbos to the Kohanim, and new loaves were replaced every Shabbos. So in effect, the loaves sat on the Shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos. So if you count inclusively, it comes out, it sat there for 8 days. The source says, Sider es alechem vesabozichin la'achar ha-Shabbos. If they did not set up the breads and the bozichin, or the containers that contained the lavona spice that accompanied the lechem upon him, and in this case, let us say, they didn't set them up on time, rather they set them up a day late. They set them up la'achar ha-Shabbos, on Sunday. And the hiktir es bozichin b'Shabbos. And they went ahead and offered the bozichin, the contents of the bozichin, this lavona, on Shabbos, on the next Shabbos, psula. It's not acceptable. This is called mechuseres zman. Mechuseres zman, the breads are supposed to sit from Shabbos till Shabbos, not any less time. And in this case, the breads sat from Sunday to Shabbos, which is less than the ordained time. Ketzed yaseh, what should take place if, for some reason, they set up the lechem upon him a day late? What should you do? Yanichenu l'Shabbos habo. You leave it till the next week. She'afilu hu al shulchan yomim rabim ein bekach klum. Even if it ends up sitting on the table more than the 8 days, it's still not a problem. So what have we described? We've described the maintenance of the lechem aponim on the table for what would come out till from Sunday on week one till Shabbos, which is at the end of week two, which is quite a bit more time than the standard amount of time that breads are to sit on the table. And this doesn't bother us. So we ask, V'amai, why do you say, Ein b'kach klum, hosam nami, lema, there too, in the case of the lechem aponim, why not say, Gezero, Shemo, Yomru, Mafkidin, b'chlei shoreis? People see us storing the breads, so to speak, for 13 days on the Shulchan. People think that in general I can store things in clay shoreis. The problem is that once something gains sanctity by being placed in a clay shoreis, it then becomes subject to a psul lina. But people see, in the case of the Shulchan, which is also a holy vessel,
that I leave the bread there for way beyond the standard time, and that's the right thing to do. So people will think, why not say that that should not be allowed, that we should not allow the bread to stay on so long because of the following. So let's read that again. The Amai Hasam Nami. Why are we lenient there? There too we should say, Gzeiro Shemo Yomru Mafkidin Bikli Shores. People think that you can entrust things, leave things, store things in Kli Shores. And as we explained, that would be a big mistake, because once something's placed in the Kli Shores, it becomes puzzle after time. So the Gemara responds and says, Pnim achutz koramis, are you asking on you're raising an inconsistency between that which takes place on the shulchan where we are lenient versus that which takes place in klei shores? How can you raise one topic on the other? The pnim, as we mentioned, is in the heichal, and the klei shores is something that could take place outside the heichal, where everyone sees. So the Gemara explains, pnim lav kulei alma yadi, that which takes place in the heichal, not everyone is aware. So that if we allow the breads to sit there for more than a week, the public isn't going to use that as a precedent for other things, because they're simply not aware of what's going on in the interior of the Beis Hamikdash. Chutz, however, things that take place outside, namely from in the eyes of the public, and that would be the case with our vessels, that our clay kodesh that are measured above the rim, that kulei almo yadi, people are aware, and if they see me disposing of that, they will then come to the conclusion that we mentioned before. They will make the mistake and think that you can be moitzi from a kli kodesh to a kli chol. Tanan Hosam. We have a very brief Tanaic source, and we have a title for this piece of Gemara on the outside margin under the Nosei heading, Shnei Shitois, two opinions, Lahasbir, Ha Disnan, Moiser, Nesachim, Leketz, HaMizbeach. We're going to try to explain this brief Tanaic quote. Tanan Hosam, turning to the Gemara, Moiser, Nesachim, Leketz, HaMizbeach. So the Gemara asks, my Moiser, Nesachim, what's meant by that expression? Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Omar, Birutze Midos. The Mosar Nesachim, that which is extra with regard to the Nesachim, that, according to this Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, was the first pshat, that's a reference to the Birutze Midos, the substance above the rim of the vessel. Rabbi Yochanan, So the source then tells us that the Birutze Midos will then, that extra substance will then be used, will be sold off, and the monies used to buy korbanos, which are called Ketz HaMizbeach. Ketz HaMizbeach is a reference to the offering of sacrifices called the Midvas Tzibor when the Mizbeach is experiencing downtime. So it shouldn't look like it's not, things aren't being offered. Ketz HaMizbeach korbanos were purchased. Those Ketz HaMizbeach, technically speaking, the word Ketz is a reference to figs, dried figs that people eat as a dessert. So too the Mizbeach, when it's not functioning in its full force, these korbanos are purchased with the Mosar Nesachim, and which we're explaining right now to be a reference to the Birutze Midos, and as we said, those korbanos will then be offered as Ketz Mizbeach to show that the Mizbeach is not dormant. A second pshat, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, if you want to know what is Mosar Nesachim, so it's based on the following. Ka'oisa Shishoninu. It is like that which is taught in the following Tanaic source. Hamakabel Olov Lesapik Siltois. This source describes two scenarios. The first one, the Reisha, is of less interest for us right now, but
the Reisha describes a person that received money from the Gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash, from the temporal treasury, and he accepted upon himself the responsibility of supplying flour to the Beis HaMikdash, and he accepted this at a time when flour was 4 sa'ah per sela. It's a rate. Sela is the name of a coin. That's like saying four measures for a dollar. So we're saying that's the case. He accepted upon himself to see to it that the Beis HaMikdash gets it. So he got money. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains he would have received, let's say, the sela from the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash. And as we said, the going rate was four saw per sela. But what happened is the umdu b'shalosh, they became more expensive. The prices rose, and shalosh means there were only 3 saw per sela. Now this person received the money. When he received the money, he anticipated supplying 4 saw. Saw is a measure. 4 measures, 4 of these measures to the Beis HaMikdash. But what can you do? In the meantime, they became more expensive. So he's holding on to the money that he got from the Gizbar. What does he do? So the source says, Yisapek me'arba. He has to supply 4 sa'ah. He might have to pay out of his own pocket for it, but he has to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash gets what he originally said they would get. And he originally volunteered or accepted upon himself to bring 4 sa'ah. Another scenario, Mishalosh the Amdu Me'arba. He accepted upon himself to bring 3 saw in exchange for the sela that he received. In the course of time, though, the sela that he received now had more buying purchase power, because the flour became cheaper. And that's what the Amdu Me'arba. And for 1 sela, you can now buy 4 saw. He originally accepted upon himself to supply 3. Now, with the same coin, he can supply more. He can supply 4. So the source says, Mesapek me'arba. He has to supply an extra saw. And it was a total of 4. Sheyad hegdish al hilyona. The rule that governs this Mishnah with its 2 scenarios is this, that Hegdish shall never lose out. They always have the upper hand. So that if he accepted originally 4 to supply 4 saw and they went up in price, too bad for him. He's got to supply 4. That's what he said. And if the Beis HaMikdash supplied funds and the stuff became cheaper, he has to supply everything that coin can buy right now, even though it's more than what he originally said. More than he originally accepted upon himself to supply. What we have to emphasize right now is there is an extra saw. Remember, he said he would supply 3. Now he has to supply 4. That extra saw is called Moisar Nesochim. And with that in mind, so that extra saw now will be sold off and used to buy korbonus for Kate's Hamizbeach purposes. As we mentioned before, those are korbonus offered during the downtime of the Mizbeach.
Tanya Kavosei de Rebbe Chiya Bar Yosef, Tanya Kavosei de Rebbe Yochanan. The Gemara points out there are 2 Tanaic sources, one supporting Rebbe Chiya Bar Yosef's explanation, and the other supporting Rebbe Yochanan's explanation. So here we read the sources. Tanya Kavosei de Rebbe Chiya Bar Yosef, Birutse Midos Halolu Mahoyu Oisin Bohen. Now let's just remember that Rebbe Chiya Bar Yosef, he explained what was meant by Moisar Nesochim. He said it's Birutse Midos, that dome, that extra mount that is above the rim of the measures. So the source talks about the Birutse Midos. Mahoyu Oisin Bohen, what was done with them? Im Yesh Zevach Acher Yakrivu Imo. If there's another korban there, so you can use that extra wine to accompany the second korban. V'im Lonu. If for some reason they were not used, there was, let's say, no other korban, so yifsalu belina, the birutz amidos become unacceptable through the fact that they were left over beyond the time. That's called a psul lina. The im lav, and if there
they did not become posel. Mekitzin bohen es hamizbeach. The birutzei midos are used for the Kate Samizbeach, the Kate Zemahu. What is the Kate Samizbeach? So we said before they were korbanos that were used during the downtime of the Mizbeach. In fact, oilois. They are olos sacrifices that are bought. Habosur Lashem, the oilois lekonem. And as is standard procedure with a korban ola, the bosur is burnt on the Mizbeach. The entire animal is burnt limb by limb on the Mizbeach. And the oros, the skins, la kohanim. That's a gift to the kohanim. What's the point of this? The point is that we see in this Tanaic source a support to Rabbi Yehuda bar Yosef's approach. We see it addressing birutzei midos and the use of the birutzei midos for Kates HaMizbeach. Tanya kavasi Rabbi Yochanan. Hamakabel olav lesapek siltois me'arba, the umdu mishalosh mesapek me'arba. Someone who had accepted upon himself to supply flour to the base of Migdash, 4 saw per sela, they became more expensive. Well, mesapek arba, he still has to supply 4 saw. Mishalosh vi umdu me'arba, he accepted to supply at a 3 saw, and they became cheaper, and now the sela coin can buy 4 saw. Mesapek me arba, he has to supply 4 saw. Shiyat hegdish al yoyna. The hegdish always has the upper hand. Hegdish meaning the base hamigdash funds. Vizeu shishoninu moisar nesochim leketz hamizbeach. This example, the example of that extra saw that he's expected to provide, this is what's meant by the term moisar nesochim, which is used for Kates HaMizbeach, and that's how Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah that was quoted on Amud Aleph. Kol Korbanos HaTzibur VaYochid Teunin Nesachim. The Mishnah mentions that all public and private sacrifices require the accompanying wine offering. The Nesachim is a term we've seen already quite a bit, and we know it includes the meal offering and wine offerings that accompany sacrifices. So all sacrifices need nesachim. Chutz, now exceptions. Chutz min habachor, meiser. Meiser is a meiser behema. Va'pesach, va'chatos, va'osham. Ela, shechatos shel mitzero va'oshamoi te'unin nesachim. Even though it was just mentioned that a chatos and osham, sin offering and osham offering, do not require nesachim, that's not the case when it comes to the mitzora who happens to have an obligation to bring a chatos and osham. And the Mishnah tells us that the chatos and osham of a mitzora do require nesachim. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the nosei, mekoros. We'll have sources regarding which korbanos in fact require nesachim. You'll notice by way of markings, this is a long source. There's a frame around it, and it contains a long Tanaic source. The pasuk that the source starts darshaning is in Bamidbar, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Gimel. It should be noted that Perek Tezvav in Bamidbar deals with Nesachim. Before going on in the source, maybe we should read together the Pasuk itself that we've included on the side of the Gemara, Bamidbar Tezvav, Pasuk Gimel, Vasisem, Yishe Lashem, Oilo Ozevach, Lefalei Neder O Benedova, Oy Bimoadechem, Lasois Reach Nichoch Lashem in Abokor, Oy Min Hatzain. This pasuk will be broken down into its component parts, and we will see what each section teaches us. So, Tana Rabbanan, Vasisem Ishel Hashem, Yochol Kol Ha'oila V'ishim Ye Ta'un Nesachim Afilu Mincha. The pasuk speaks about you make an ishe lashem. Ishe is that which you place in the fire. So are we to understand that anything that's placed in the fire on the mizbeach needs to have nesachim, and that would include even a meal offering, because after all, a meal offering, a handful of it is placed in the fire. So are we saying that when you bring a mincha, you also have to bring an accompanying nesachim offering? Talmud Lomar, Oila. Therefore, the pasuk says, Ola, which is going to exclude a mincha. An ola is an animal sacrifice. Shlomim minayin. Well, once you say ola, how do you know that a shlomim sacrifice requires nesachim? Tamad lomar zevach. So the pasuk uses the word zevach. Toda minayin. How about a korban toda? Tamad lomar o zevach. Yochol shani marbe af b'choru ma'isir pesach v'chas v'asham. Should I include these sacrifices as well? The b'chor, the ma'isir behema, the pesach atas and asham, as also requiring nesachim. Tamad lomar lefalei neder oy b'nedava. That is in pasuk ches over there in Bamidbor Tezvav. So it says lefalei neder oy b'nedava, and we learn from this ba b'neder nedava to nesachim, that which can come as a voluntary offering, a voluntary, a vowed offering, that kind of korban requires nesachim. She'eno bo b'neder dava, ein to nesachim. Those kind of korbanos that do not come as voluntary offerings, they do not require nesachim. Mashma lehotzi es elu. So with that, I can understand why we are excluding these animals, the Bechor, the Meiser, Pesach, Chatas, Roshem. These are korbanos that one does not bring on a voluntary basis. And the that as a standard for Nesachim is what Pasuk Ches is based on. Oitzi es choyvois habos. Well, we said so far that mashma lahotzi es elu. So, by virtue of the fact that the standard for requiring nesachim is that which comes as a voluntary offering or as a vow that one takes upon himself, things that are not like that are excluded. Well, otzi es chovos habos machmas haregel beregel. Should I exclude from nesachim the chovos habos machmas haregel, those sacrifices that are obligated to be brought by virtue of the fact of it being a holiday? So the Brisa asks, otzi es chovos habos machmas haregel beregel. Omai ninu, and what should that? What will that include? So that if one is bringing an oilos ria or shalmei chagiga, according to what we're saying, it would not require nesachim, and that's not true. Talmud lomar o b'moyadechem. The pasuk makes reference to that in pasuk gimel. Kol habo b'moyadechem to nesachim. Anything that comes on a holiday requires nesachim. So even though the oilas ria and the shalmei chagiga are not your standard voluntary offerings, but rather they're obligatory offerings, nevertheless they do require nesachim by virtue of this phrase o b'moadechem. Mashma lohavi es elu ovi sirei chatos. Should I include sin goat offerings hayo uboyin choyve brego, because the sirei chatos are brought on the holiday as part of the holiday obligation? So are you going to tell me that sirei chatos require nesachim? Talmud lomar v'chi taseh ben bokor oilo o zavach. Ben bokor b'chlal hoya. Ben bokor was already included in the pasuk that mentioned la'asos reach nichoyach l'Hashem. That means bichlal hoy. It was already included in that which was mentioned earlier, the lomo yotza. So why does this pasuk, which is pasuk ches, feature the ben bokor separately? Lomar lahakish elov, the lomar loch. It's to compare to it and to state ma ben bokor miuchad bo b'neder u'nedava. Just like a ben bokor is that type of animal that can come as a voluntary vowed offering, af kol bo b'neder u'nedava. So to anything else that comes b'neder u'nedava, that requires nesachim. The si'irei chatos do not come b'neder u'nedava. La'asos reach nichoyach l'Hashem min habokor oy min hatzon. This is pasuk gimel of perek tes vav in Bamidbar. Ma talmud lomar, what is this pasuk revealing to us? We already know the pasuk says zevach, and all of these are included in the zevach. So what is the significance of this pasuk? Answer: Lefi shenemar oila. Since the pasuk used the term oila, shomeani afilu oila soif bemashma, I would think that even if one brings a bird offering, an oila bird offering, it will require nisachim. Tamalomar. Therefore, I need this pasuk min habokar oy min hatzayin. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Eino Tzorach, I don't need min habokar to exclude oif. Harehu Omer, the pasuk also says zevach, that what needs nisachim, something that's a zevach. Zevach is a reference to that which is killed or slaughtered with a knife. The oif, Eino zevach, the oif, when brought to the Beis HaMikdash, was not slaughtered with a knife, but rather with the Kohen's thumbnail. Well, in Cain, if that be the case, that I don't need this pasuk of min habokar that Rabbi Yoshia used, ma tamud lomar min habokar oy min hatzon. So what do I need? Bamidbar perek tezvah pasuk gimel. In fact, 4. Answer. So this is Rabbi Yonasan's use. Lefi shenemar. Since the pasuk elsewhere says, "Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Lashem min habehema min habokar umin atzayin," Yochol ha'omer, could it be that one who says "Hare olai oila," that he accepts upon himself to bring a korban ola yavi mishneim, that he would be expected to bring bokar and tzayin? The pasuk we just read mentioned that a person would bring from bokar and tzayin. So, is that really so, that if someone accepted upon himself to bring a korban ola, you have to bring both kinds of animals? Talmud loymar, therefore I need this pasuk of min habokar oy min hatzayin, which was the pasuk that we were started off asking within Rabbi Yonasan, what does he do with it? I need it for this. Rotsa echod maybe, rotsa shnei maybe. If a person said hare olai oila, he can bring either boker or tzon. So this we call lechalik, where I might have thought a person has to bring two, like, or a lot, everything. Comes along the pasuk and teaches me, no, lechalik, you can bring even one of the items. The Gemara asks, v'Rabbi Yonasan loma li kro, why does Rabbi Yonasan, of all people, require a pasuk lechalik? Ha'omar, but we know Rabbi Yonasan in other places to have said that even though things seem to be taught together, they are not to be understood as together, ad shiyifrot lo hakosuf yachdov, until the pasuk uses the word yachdov, which means together. But until the pasuk uses the expression yachdov, I don't assume togetherness. Therefore, even though the pasuk in Vayikra said Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Lashem min habehema min habokar umin hatzon, I on my own would not have thought that he has to bring both boker and tzon. Itzterich, the Gemara says, in this case, I do need a special pasuk. I need this special pasuk of min habokar oy min hatzon lechalek salka deita chamina, because without this I might have thought hoyel uksiv umin hatzon. The vav of the word in Vayikra aleph, the pasuk that we saw before, min habokar umin hatzon. Let's read the pasuk again from Vayikra aleph. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Lashem min habema min habokar u min hatzon. Since the vav, the word, the letter vav appears, which is the connecting vav, keman dechsiv yachdov dami. It's as if the pasuk in Vayikra was telling me that if you accept upon yourself to bring an ola, you've got to bring both. Therefore, I need the pasuk that said O min hatzon to say, even according to Rabbi Yonasan, or we're speaking within his shita, even though it's unusual for him to need a pasuk for this, but because of the vav of U min hatzon in Vayikra, I need our pasuk of min habokar oy min hatzon to tell me that he doesn't have to bring both. Ulu Rabbi Yoshia diomar,
Afagav delok siv yachtov kemandich siv yachtov domi. According to Rabbi Yoshia, who holds that even if you don't have the word yachtov, by the mere fact the two things are taught together, that means togetherness. Well, the boy krah, should he not need a pasuk lechalek? Now, let's not forget the pasuk that Rabbi Yonasan just used for lechalek. Rabbi Yoshia had used already to exclude the Oila Sa'of from the need of Nesachim, namely the Pasuk of Min HaBokar Oi Min HaTzon. So where is Rabbi Yoshia's Lechalek Pasuk going to be when it comes to someone who accepts upon himself a vow to bring a Korban Ola? Even Rabbi Yoshia knows that he doesn't have to bring a Bokar and Tzon, a cow and sheep, but how does he know it as far as the Pasukim are concerned? Where's the Pasuk? Answer: Hoksiv. He has these psukim that teach me lechalek. Im oilo korbono min habokar. And it says, v'im min hatzon korbono. Two psukim that indicate that a person who accepts upon himself a vow to bring an ola, he can bring a bokar, or he can bring a tzon. So he uses those psukim will be his source for lechalek. V'idach, Rabbi Yonasan, Itzrich. He says, even though I've got these other psukim, I still need Bamidbar Tezvav Posuk Gimel to tell me lechalek. Had I not had my posuk from Bamidbar Tezvav Posuk Gimel, had I had just these psukim in Vayikra, I would have thought Hani Mili Bimeforesh. When is it that he brings just Bokar or Tzon? That's when he specifies. Avol b'stamo la'izim mitravayu. But if a person had accepted upon himself to bring an Ola, and he didn't specify from one variety, he simply said, I want to bring an Ola. So I would have thought he has to bring Bokar and Tzon. Komash malon, therefore I need the Pasuk in Bamidbar Tezvav, Pasuk Gimel, to tell me that even when he is Makabel Stam, when he vows with in a Stam, in an undefined fashion, nevertheless he does not have to bring both varieties. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.